10 minutes later, I was 15 clicks above Roanoke and climbing, heading for an Oban transport, thinking about what Jane had said. "You will find that our Oban ships travel far more quickly than your Colonial Union ships," Hickory said. "Is that right?" I said. I wandered over to where Hickory and Dickory had placed my luggage and picked out one of the suitcases. "Yes," Hickory said. "Far more efficient engines and better artificial gravity management. We will reach skip distance from Roanoke in a little under 2 days. It would take one of your ships 5 or 6 days to reach the same distance."
"Good," I said. "The sooner we get to General Gaw, the better." I unzipped the suitcase.
"This is a very exciting moment for us," Hickory said. "This is the first time since you have lived with Major Perry and Lieutenant Sagan that you will meet other Oban in person."
"But they know all about me," I said.
"Yes," Hickory said. "The recordings of the last year have made their way to all Oban, both in unedited and digest form. The unedited versions will take time to process."
"I'll bet," I said. "Here we are." I found what I was looking for, the stone knife, given to me by my werewolf. I had packed it quickly when no one was looking. I was just making sure that I didn't imagine packing it.
"You brought your stone knife," Hickory said.
"I did," I said. "I have plans for it."
"What plans?" Hickory asked.
"I'll tell you later," I said. "But tell me, Hickory," I said. "This ship we're going to, is there anyone important on it?"
"Yes," Hickory said, "because it is the first time that you have been in the presence of other Oban since you were a child. One of the members of Oban's governing council will be there to greet you. It very much wants to meet with you."
"Good," I said, and glanced at the knife. "I very much want to meet with it, too." I think I actually made Hickory nervous right then.
22. "Demand something back," I said to myself as I waited for the Oban council member to greet me in my stateroom. "Demand something back. Demand something back." I'm definitely going to throw up, I thought.
"You can't throw up," I answered myself. "You haven't figured out the plumbing yet. You don't know what to throw up into." That at least was true. The Oban don't excrete or take care of their personal hygiene the same way humans do, and they don't have the same issues with modesty that we do when they're with others of their own race. In the corner of my stateroom was an interesting array of holes and spigots that looked like something that you would probably use for bathroom purposes, but I had no idea what was what. I didn't want to use the thing that I thought was the sink, only to find out later it was supposed to be the toilet. Drinking from the toilet was fine for Babar, but I like to think I have higher standards. This was definitely going to be an issue in another hour or two. I would have to ask Hickory or Dickory about it. They weren't with me because I asked to be taken directly to my stateroom when we took off, and then asked to be alone for an hour, at which point I wanted to see the council member. I think that by doing that, I messed up some sort of ceremonial welcome from the crew of the Oban transport, called Oban Transport 8532, in typical and boring Oban efficiency, but I didn't let that bother me. It did have the effect I was going for at the moment. I had decided I was going to be a little bit difficult. Being a little bit difficult was going to make it easier, I hoped, to do what I needed to do next, which was to try to save Roanoke. My dad had his own plan to do that, and I was going to help him with it. But I was thinking up a plan of my own. All it needed me to do was to demand something back. Something really, really, really big. "Oh well," my brain said, "if this doesn't work, at least you can ask this council guy where you're supposed to pee." Yes, well, that would be something. There was a knock on my stateroom door, and the door then slid open. There was no lock on the door because Oban among themselves didn't have much of a concept of privacy. No signal on the door either, for the same reason. 3 Oban entered the room, Hickory and Dickory, and a 3rd Oban who was new to me.
"Welcome, Zoe,"
it said to me. We welcome you at the start of your time with the Oban.
Thank you, I said. Are you the council member?
I am, it said. My name is Doc.
I tried very hard to keep a smile off my face and failed miserably. You said your name was Doc, I said.
Yes, it said.
As in Hickory Dickory Doc, I said.
That is correct, it said.
That's quite a coincidence, I said, once I got my face back under control.
It is not a coincidence, Doc said. When you named Hickory and Dickory, we learned of the nursery rhyme from which you derived the names. When I and many other Oban chose names for ourselves, we chose words from the rhyme.
I knew there were other Hickories and Dickories, I said, but you're telling me that there are other Oban named Doc, too.
Yes, said Doc.
And Mouse and Clock, I said.
Yes, said Doc.
What about ran, up, and the, I asked.
Every word in the rhyme is popular as a name, said Doc.
I hope some of the Oban know they've named themselves after a definite article, I said.
We are all aware of the meaning of the words, Doc said. What was important is the association to you. You named these two Hickory and Dickory. Everything followed from there.
I had been getting sidetracked by the idea that an entire fearsome race of aliens had given themselves goofy names because of the names I had thoughtlessly given two of them more than a decade before. This comment by Doc snapped me back into focus. It was a reminder that the Oban, with their new consciousness, had so identified with me, so imprinted on me, even as a child, that even a nursery rhyme I liked carried weight. Demand something back. My stomach cramped up. I ignored it. Hickory, I said. Are you and Dickory recording right now?
Yes,
Hickory said. Stop, please, I said. Counselor Doc, are you recording this right now?
I am, it said, although only for my personal recollection.
Please stop, I said. They all stopped recording.
Have we offended you?
Doc asked. No, I said, but I don't think you'll want this as part of the permanent record. I took a deep breath. I require something from the Oban, Counselor.
Tell me what it is, Doc said. I will try to find it for you.
I require the Oban to help me defend Roanoke, I said.
I am afraid we are unable to help you with that request, Doc said.
It's not a request, I said.
I do not understand, Doc said.
I said, it's not a request. I didn't request the Oban's help, Counselor. I said I require it. There's a difference.
We cannot comply, Doc said. The Colonial Union has requested that we provide no assistance to Roanoke.
I don't care, I said. What the Colonial Union wants at this point means absolutely nothing to me. The Colonial Union is planning to let everyone I care about die because it's decided Roanoke is more useful as a symbol than a colony. I don't give a crap about the symbolism. I care about the people. My friends and family, they need help, and I require it from you.
Assisting you means breaking our treaty with the Colonial Union, Doc said.
Your treaty, I said. That would be the one that allows you access to me.
Yes,
Dickory said.
Yes,
Doc said. You realize you have me, I said, on this ship, technically on Oban territory. You don't need Colonial Union permission to see me anymore.
Our treaty with the Colonial Union is not only about access to you, Doc said. It covers many issues, including our access to the consciousness machines we wear. We cannot go against this treaty, even for you.
Then don't break it, I said, and this is where I mentally crossed my fingers. I knew the Oban would say they couldn't break their treaty with the Colonial Union. Hickory had said so before.
This is where things were about to get really tricky. I require the Oban to help me defend Roanoke, Counselor. I didn't say the Oban had to do it themselves.
I am afraid I do not understand you, Doc said.
Get someone else to help me, I said. Hint to them that the help would be appreciated. Do whatever you have to do.
We would not be able to hide our influence, Doc said. The Colonial Union will not be swayed by the argument that our forcing another race to act on your behalf does not constitute interference.
Then ask someone the Colonial Union knows you can't force, I said.
Whom do you suggest? Doc asked.